What? These words are hard.
But in a...
Do that again, please.
Yeah, I like it.
This is Barely Furcasting, featuring Tabin, an Injured Nerves audio production. So, welcome everyone to...
Whatever this is that we're doing.
Whatever this is, episode 35 of Barely Furcasting, featuring Tabin.
Wow, 35?
Yes, 35.
Wow.
Our podcast is officially over the hill now. I am Barely Normal, and I am one of your co-hosts, and my co-host with me is Tabin. Hi.
Hi, my name is Tabin. I'm a pup. Bark, bark. Good to hear you and see you. Well, our listeners can't see you, but I can see you, and that's wonderful to do. Good to see and hear you again, Barely.
Thank you very much. So, you know, today is December 26th.
It is.
This is the day after Christmas.
Well, you did deck the halls, so
you decked the halls with boughs of holly. I don't know why Holly gave us her boughs, but she did.
I don't either. Maybe she performed really well, and we're cheering for her. So now Holly is giving her boughs. I don't know.
It could be. Well, of course, this is Boxing Day.
I did not realize actually today is. I thought Boxing Day was more like in June or something.
No. No, Boxing Day is the day after Christmas
for most countries.
Yes. Except for America. We don't really celebrate Boxing Day.
Which is really surprising because it's the day after Christmas and like you have all these boxes you have to put away and stuff. So why is it not Boxing Day?
And the first time I heard of Boxing Day, the day after Christmas, that's what I thought it was all about.
Okay. But no, we were led astray.
If you listened to our Christmas special just this last week, you heard us talking with Reg Day about Boxing Day. Apparently he didn't know much about it.
but we were talking to him about it.
Yeah. So Boxing Day. So what is it? So, you know, it seems there's no real definition to Boxing Day.
Oh, really? Is that why all the kiddies are so confused and just sit in like every single box because they're trying to figure it out themselves?
Right. They don't know. There's only one state in America that celebrates it, and that's Massachusetts. Yeah. And they enacted it in 1997. So it's a recent enaction or inaction, not inaction. But in some countries, it's a national holiday, and in others, it's not. So it generally falls on December 26th. And it's sometimes referred to as the alms boxes. You know what an alms box is?
Alms for the poor.
Yes.
I actually knew that somehow. I don't know.
That's right. And alms, of course, is donations or giving alms. I always thought it was when I was a kid, I thought it was giving arms. And I'm like, I'm not giving you my arms.
I need these.
This is the time when most churches distribute the members in need money and stuff from the alms boxes. The first known definition of Boxing Day actually was from the Oxford Dictionary in 1830, a long time ago.
That was a while ago.
And they defined it as the first weekday after Christmas on which postmen, errand boys, and servants of various kinds are expected to receive a Christmas box.
A Christmas box. Not a Christmas present, not a Christmas tree, not a Christmas giraffe even, but a Christmas box.
A box. Yes. You get nothing more than a box.
You just have an empty box, and it's like, well, that makes sense that it wouldn't be a Christmas giraffe because they don't have boxes that big, so they just went with an empty box. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
But whatever tradition you follow, Tabin, happy Boxing Day.
Happy Barking Day to you too, Barry.
Happy Barking Boxing Day.
Oh, my cow.
That was a little bit of history with Barely.
We had another history with Barely recently. What was that one? I forget.
That was about Black Friday. Another day after a holiday.
Another day after a holiday that doesn't really have anything to do with what you would immediately think of when you think black or boxing.
Right. Boxing Day could mean that there was pugilists involved.
Pugilists? Is this a word that you know?
That is a word.
Okay, and you know this word. This is really interesting. This is a word I do not know.
You do not know the word pugilist, eh?
I do not, B.
No, a pugilist is a fighter, a boxer.
Oh, wow. So many things are – so do they have like – matches on Boxing Day then?
I would think so. I mean, it would make appropriate sense, you know.
This fluffy brain is having lots of trouble wrapping head around what's going on right now, actually. Pugilists and boxing and giraffes. Here we go.
A pugilist giraffe. Ooh. So I think we get to our mailbag. What do you say?
I say let's do it.
Okay. I'm going to open the mailbag.
Did we receive anything?
Oh, let's find out.
Mailbag, and yes, we received a Christmas card.
Oh, we did.
We
That's
did.
That's so cool. I'm so excited. I wag. Oh, look at that. That's so nice. It's happy.
And it says, Barely and Tabin.
Hi, that's us.
Yeah, I know. wishing your family a very Merry Christmas. And that's what it says inside. And then the handwritten part says, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. May 2021 be a better year and cons can come back and COVID goes away.
I want all three of those.
From Thunder Wolfie. Thank you, Thunder Wolfie, for sending us a Christmas card.
Thank you. Yes, Thunder Wolfie, I wag. That was very, very nice of you. Thank you.
And we had a message sent to us on our Telegram chat.
We did. We've had a few of them. Is there a particular one you're thinking of?
There was one that I thought was appropriate to read on the show. Because
the others aren't appropriate.
Well, so, you know, join the BFFT Telegram chat and you will be privy to all the conversations that happen about the show and behind the scenes. And
the appropriate and inappropriate ones.
It's an all-age chat, so we want to make sure that it is SFW.
Wait, does inappropriate have other means than that? Like you said a bunch of words and letters, and I don't know what those letters are. So we'll just leave it at, ask me what I'm talking about.
Tabin, what are you talking about?
I have no idea, and thanks for asking.
Well, you're welcome. But Acton Schaefer sent us a message on Telegram. He says, as for show number 31, with the controversy Adoba versus Chipotle, Kadoba. I say none of the above. Both are for young hipsters and who don't have a clue what is good Mexican food. We have a lot of Latinos living in Beaverton, Oregon, and I get my burrita cantitas fix. I think I said that wrong. Fix at a local place or truck. Point added, if I order in Spanish, I don't even have to pay extra for guacamole.
Well, that's exciting because this pup hates guacamole. Actually, no, you're getting guacamole for free. I wouldn't even want it for free.
I know. I have watched you just run and hide from the guac.
This pup has definitely done that. Run and hide under couch with Posse sticking out. And I guess just to be clear, so thank you, Acton, for...
You don't want to be opaque?
And just to be clear, the whole thing about Qdoba versus Chipotle that I said, I wasn't saying it's better. Like, this pup prefers, like, normal, like, actual Mexican food himself. I know Qdoba and Chipotle aren't, like, actual Mexican food, but I was just saying if I had to pick one over the other, I would pick Qdoba, and here's why. So hopefully I didn't opaquely offend any fur in all of that.
I'm sure you did. It is a very divisive subject.
It really is, and this was one of the inappropriate conversations that we had on the chat.
Well, that's going to take us up to our media section. So what have you been watching anything fun this week or done anything fun?
Ask me if I've done anything this week.
Have you done anything?
No. But that's actually a lie. I did. So fun things I've been watching. I've continued to watch Man with a Plan. You might remember me talking about that. Mm-hmm. Last week we started. Still on season one, but episode 13 or something. And we talked about before, it has Joey from France, Matt LeBlanc. And I forgot to mention his brother on the show is Kevin Nealon.
Oh, okay.
We all know him from Saturday Night Live, so I looked up on his like filmography and stuff. And he's been in, like, I didn't realize he was in so much. He's been in so much. He does a really good job, like, on the show. You might remember me mentioning the show Suits, the law show type thing. Really good. We're in season 6 and it continues to be really good. I highly recommend. And we watched a movie, an old movie I've seen before. It's called Trick. Have you seen this movie? Barely.
I haven't heard of this, no.
Yeah, this was in a movie from the 80s or 90s. It's a gay... I call it a gay romance type movie-ish, and it's really good. Actually, it's really good. I recommend it. I think that's all I've been watching. How about you, Barely?
I literally have not been watching anything new this week other than my standard watches, the stuff that comes out on Thursdays, Mandalorian and Discovery. But I did want to mention that there is a new Apple original movie coming out on Apple TV Plus for those of you that have it. It is called Wolf Walkers.
Ooh, this sounds really exciting already.
Right. The write-up for the story or for the show is a young apprentice hunter and her father journey to Ireland to help wipe out the last wolf pack, which doesn't sound very nice.
No, that is actually, maybe I don't want to watch this now, but I guess keep going. Maybe it gets better.
But everything changes. See, everything changes.
Yay! Okay. And I really want to know how it changes.
Well, she befriends a free-spirited girl from a mysterious tribe rumored to transform into wolves by night.
Ooh, okay. That's something worth watching.
Just for the wolfies. Yeah. It's a cartoon. It's listed as a lush, lyrical Irish folk tale.
I like these words already. See that, right. That again.
Lush, lyrical Irish folktale with dark moments and peril.
Dark moment and peril.
Peril. So I have posted the link for 5 Minute Furs. So we will now wait and see if anyone comes in. So while we're waiting for 5 Minute Furs, I see in our show notes that you have something that wrote down that you said in direct contrast. Why don't you tell me about that?
Because, okay, so, you know, the Fox, what does the Fox say, has been, like, on my mind, and, like, I'm all obsessed with it these days for whatever reason
and
stuff.
And many people are all of a sudden. I don't know why, but yeah.
It's a thing, yeah. So the other day, well, it's been about a week now, but I posted, what does the pup say? And then I went, because if you can think of the chorus, how it goes, but I went, bark, 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 bark. So that's what I tweeted, all of that.
Okay.
I typed it all out. And
why does that not surprise me?
I don't think it should surprise you. And then the next day, of course, I was still all obsessed with the song, and I tweeted, pup goes moo. So Cider the Snep replied like right away to that and yelled, this is in direct contrast to what you said yesterday, oh my cow. Okay. Well, he said OMC, but you know, he actually
stands for OM, oh my cow. Yes,
it does. So shout out to Cider the Snep for knowing that. And so I was contradictory pup and he noticed it and he called me out on it right away. That's what I have to say about that.
And then you have something about Tay made a rhyme. What is that?
All these things happen recently.
Things happen. I mean,
apparently things happen.
And again, that's in direct contrast to what you said earlier when you said, you've done nothing all week.
It was in direct contrast. That's true. There's a lot of direct contrasting from this pup right now. Mm-hmm. The rhyme thing is, so I was in a chat today. Well, I guess I'm every day, but in particular today, someone was talking, talking about they use propane instead of firewood or something.
I sell propane and propane accessories.
And for some reason, that made me just start typing out a big long rhyme for whatever reason, because I'm like that. And that probably doesn't surprise you at all for me to say that. And then some fur said, that's a good rhyme. So I thought, hey, why don't I just say my rhyme on the pubcast tonight? So I'm going to do that.
All right, let's hear it.
And this is how it went. It's not a pain to use propane unless it is slain in a hot, dry plane while flying an airplane and trying to stay sane while eating the candy cane while hugging some fur named Dane and admiring the magic of David Blaine, of which his mastery you can only gain. And of course, don't forget to pet the horsey's mane. The end.
I'm speechless.
I apparently was not.
That was a very
intricate tale, maybe?
Yes, it was an intricate tale and a very well, it wasn't really a haiku, but it was something along that line.
It was some type of poem. I was thinking maybe I should turn it into a song and then I'll sing it on the pupcast.
Yeah. So I think things like that should be called a taiku or a teiku.
Teiku. I like it. I like
teiku.
It.
That's when you do a teiku. Taven did a teiku.
Taven did. No. Taven did a teiku. I like it.
I'm guessing that we're not going to have a guest, a 5 minute fur guest, which is okay.
Your guess is as good as mine.
Well, we'll have a guest. Our guest today, of course, is, remember who our guest is today?
Yes, it's Addie Boyo.
Addie Boyo from, where is she from again?
Wisconsin, I think.
Oh, yes, Wisconsin. That's right. Wisconsin.
Tell me how I always pronounce it Wisconsin. Like it's there, windy there or something. I'm not sure. But how is it really pronounced?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. So it's like it's a con that whisks you away when you're in it. So there's yes. Wisconsin just in different orders. You've got the con, yeah. You've got the in, and you've got the whis.
That's true. And you can whistle a happy tune.
You can. If you are able to whistle, please make it a happy one. Where are we going with this? This is exciting.
There was an old line from an old movie. You know how to whistle, don't you? Just purse your lips and blow.
You know how to whistle, don't you, Steve? You just put your lips together and blow.
Something like that.
You heard it here, all you furs. And if you're really good at it, you can make money, and so you can then put the money in your purse that you just did to whistle. So it's like a comes around thing. I don't know.
You know, there is a lot of quote unquote old English words that, you know, you say something and people look at you funny and they go blink, 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 because they don't know what the hell you're talking about.
My husband does that sometimes, actually.
Just stands there and blinks at you.
I meant he says phrases or things that are like kind of old school or something that I don't even know. But he does also very often do the thing where he just stands there and blinks at me. So actually, yeah, all that.
All that and then some. Oh,
and
my.
Then some. Like a while ago, he used the word police in the context of, could you please come over here and police the area? Mm-hmm. Meaning he wanted me to clean it up. But I was like, I'm just a pup. I shouldn't get in trouble. Don't send me away with the police or something. He says things like that. And I'm like, what the cow is going on?
We might have to start looking up some strange words and see if people know what it means. But like, I'm guessing they don't.
Like Plufferdine.
Well, now there's a difference between real words and Taven words.
But no, but a Taven word is a real word because okay. Maybe well, not. Okay.
There's Plufferdine and Plufferdiphius and Hinderfruit and Hinderfruit. All sorts of things.
The Hinderfruits are really important. I remember in way an early pupisode, we talked about the Hinderfruit and how important it is and how rare it is. So, yeah, these are good things.
The world economy is based on Hinderfruit futures.
There's a reason why the Hinderfruit, that word is made up because, well, it is.
Well, Taben, the 10 minutes is up and no one joined us today.
You know, and I have to, I don't know why I'm still stuck on the Hinderfruit thing, but I was just thinking, every time I'm in a chat and I say something about a Hinderfruit, because believe it or not, barely, I mm-hmm. actually say that in chat sometimes. I know it's a shock that I would actually do that. Every time I do, Sumfer will usually say immediately, what's a Hinderfruit?
You and I were talking earlier and we decided we were going to start doing a new bit here on the podcast, classic comedy bits.
Oh, it turned in. That's exciting. It's turning into a segment.
Yes.
I like this. No, this, I didn't even realize. So yeah. For all you furs out there, I didn't know this. This is exciting surprise that barely had for me. I just had this idea to like, hey, on tonight's recording, let's do this thing. And apparently it's going to be a segment now. So that's exciting.
I started thinking about all the different classic comedy routines that are out there. And I thought, you know, it'd be kind of fun for us to do them because most of them are two-person routines.
And really good and really deserve to be like rekindled. Is that word, the word?
Rekindled.
Remembered, or rekindled. I don't know what the word is.
Or remurdered by the two of us.
yes, it will definitely be remurdered by us. But we'll do what we can.
This week, our kickoff, our
inaugural pup.
We're going to launch our inaugural classic comedy bit by doing the Abbott and Costello Who's On First routine.
Very well known, well celebrated routine. It's, I think, every fur, no matter how young or old you are, you've heard this and you love it. And mm-hmm. So we're going to make you hate it by doing it for you. And
I am playing the part of Bud Abbott.
I, Taven, am going to play the part of Lou Costello because it just makes sense because he's the confusing one and I'm a little bit of a confusing pup. So it really makes sense that that should be me.
All right. And here we go. Well, Taven, you know, I'm going to go to New York with you. You know, Bookie Harris, the Yankees manager. Well, he gave me a job as coach for as long as you're on the team.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, I'd love this. So if you're the coach, you must know all the players then.
Of course, I certainly do.
Well, I've never met these guys, so you'll have to tell me all their names. So then I'll know who's playing on the team and know who I'm playing with and all that good stuff.
Oh, I'll tell you their names. But, you know, it seems to me they give these ball players nowadays very peculiar names.
You mean funny names?
Oh, yeah. Strange names. Pet names like Dizzy Dean.
His brother Daffy.
Daffy Dean.
And their French cousin.
Their French cousin?
Gouffet.
Gouffet Dean. Dean. Oh, okay. Well, let's see. We have on the bases, we have who's on first, what's on second, and I don't know is on third.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to find out.
And I say, who's on first, what's on second, and I don't know is on third.
So, wait, are you the manager?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to also be the coach, right?
Yeah.
And still, you don't know the guys' names yet?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the guy's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
No, the first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing...
Who is on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
Well, that's the man's name.
That's whose name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Wait. Okay. I think we're getting off to the wrong paw here. Let's try this again. So, look, you got a first baseman, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, who's playing first?
That's right.
Okay. When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it.
All I'm trying to find out is the guy's name that's on first base.
Who?
The guy that gets...
That's it.
Who gets the money?
He does, every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes.
Oh, my cow. Okay.
What's wrong with that?
Look, all I want to know... It's when you sign up the first baseman, how does he sign his name?
Who?
The guy.
Who?
How does he sign?
That's how he signs it.
Who?
Yes.
Oh, my fluff. I knew I should have gone to Taco Bell instead. Okay. All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no. What's on second?
No. I'm not asking you who's on second.
No, who's on first?
Oh, one base at a time, please. Well,
then don't change the players around.
Changing nobody.
Take it easy. It's okay.
Okay. I'm calming down now. This puppy's brain is having a little bit of a fluff attack, but I think it's okay. Okay. I'm asking you who's the guy on first base.
That's correct.
Okay.
All right.
I don't think we are getting anywhere with this. Okay. I'm going to try this one more time. I'll ask it in a slightly different way, and maybe we'll get on the same page. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the guy's name on first base?
No. What is on second?
But why are you on second? One base at a time. I'm asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking about him right now.
How did I get to third base? No.
Well, you mentioned his name.
If I mention the third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
Oh my cow. What's on base?
What's on second?
No, I don't know.
He's on third.
There I go. Where? How did I get to third? I have a bad job counting. I mean, I know my arithmetic is really bad, but how did I get to third base? I don't even know. So let's go with that. Would you stay on third base and don't go off?
All right. Well, what do you want to know?
Now, who's playing third base?
Why do you insist on putting who on third base?
I'm not putting anyone. What am I putting on third?
No, what is on second?
You don't want to know who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base. maybe we're in the wrong ballpark, as it were. let's go to outfield. You got an outfield, right?
Of course. Yes.
Okay. The left fielder's name?
Why?
I just thought I'd ask you.
Well, I thought I would just tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who's playing first?
I'm not staying out of the infield. We're on the outfield. I want to know, what's the guy's name in left field?
No, what is on second?
Second? What are we talking about? I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
Well, I don't know. Third base. Okay, so let's try this again. I'm a patient pup. I can do this. So, the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because!
He's center field.
Oh, Oh, I am not wagging at the moment. This is not a wagging moment. Okay, so maybe we're going about this all wrong. Let's go to the pitcher. You've got a pitcher on the team, of course, right?
Sure.
And the pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you now.
Okay, then go ahead.
Tomorrow.
Okay, if I have to wait, fine. What time?
What time what?
Someone is not following here. What time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen, who is not pitching?
I will never hug you again if you say who's on first. I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
Oh, at least you didn't say who. I don't know. Third base.
Third base.
Third base. Third base. Okay. We're always getting back to third base somehow. Okay. Well, maybe pitcher's the wrong way to go. So you've got a catcher.
Certainly.
Okay. And the catcher's name is?
Today.
Okay. Today and tomorrow's pitching.
Yes, you've got it.
All we got is a couple of days on the team. That's not helping us win anything. Well, okay. So let's approach it from this point of view. You know, I'm a catcher too, right?
So they tell me.
Yeah, and actually I'm more of a collie, but I'm also a catcher. I get behind the plate to do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and a heavy hitter gets up. Now, the heavy hitter bunts the ball. When he bunts the ball, me, being a good catcher, I'm going to throw to the guy on first base. So I pick up the ball and throw to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what the cow I am talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
It's to throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now who's got it?
Naturally.
Oh, my fluff. This is hurting like a lot. Okay. Barely. Mm-hmm. Let's calm down. Okay. I'm totally perfectly calm right now.
Okay.
I don't know what's gotten into you. So let's try this again. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Look, if I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it, right?
Yes.
Now who has it?
Naturally.
Who?
Naturally.
Naturally?
Naturally.
So I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
No, you don't. You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's different.
But that's what I said.
No, you're not saying it.
I throw the ball to naturally.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
But wait, that's what I said though. Why can't
you okay. ask me.
Okay. I throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
Now you ask me.
You throw the ball to who?
Naturally.
That's it.
But that's the same as you. That was the exact same thing as you. Why is this so hard? Okay. Now that I think about it, I think I got it. Let's try this. Are you ready?
Okay.
I think I got
this. All right.
I throw the ball to who? Whoever it is drops the ball and the guy runs to second. Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to? I don't know. Throws it back to tomorrow. Turbo play. Another guy gets up and hits a long fly ball to because why? I don't know. He's on third and I don't give a fluff.
What?
I said, I don't give a fluff.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
Oh, fluff cow.
And that was the classic comedy routine, Who's On First? By Abbott and Costello, portrayed by Barely and Taban.
And by portrayed, you mean destroyed by Barely and Taban.
Well, but destroyed in a good way.
in a good way. We when we destroy things, we make sure we do it in a really good way.
We do. And I think with that, since all of our listeners are now rolling in laughter on the floor, clutching their sides, and not out of the heart attack.
Did you say clutching or flexing their sides?
And clutching their sides.
Oh, clutching. They're not flexing their... I don't know why. I think that's so funny that they...
They're laying on the floor, flexing their sides.
That's exactly what was happening. Okay, yes, good.
I think we should get to our interview with Addie Boyo. What do you say?
I say let's get to our interview time. Love.
Joining us today is Karupi. Is it Karupi or Karupi?
Karupi.
Karupi. Okay. Joining us today is Karupi, and she is also known as Addie Boyo out in the furry world. So welcome to our show.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Wow. And I have to say, I've been wondering why every fur's been like ignoring me for the past like 5 minutes, even though they would anyway, but I'm like, this seems like an extra long time. And it's because I did that thing where my tail wagged and turned the mic off again.
Ah,
so
see?
I've been trying to talk to you furs for like the past 5-7 minutes, and It didn't work.
So we're just going to move along because that's what Taven does a lot. So why don't we start out by telling us a little bit about how you got into the fandom?
Like, I've always known about the fandom because I've been going to, like, anime conventions. And obviously, furries attend anime cons and whatnot. But I didn't really start getting interested in the fandom until I saw a fursuiter that was, like, actively interacting with the people around them. My favorite thing about the furry fandom is when you can, like, get into character and interact with people and make them laugh and smile. So this, like, random fursuiter came up to us, me and my friends, while we're sitting around. And he just starts, like, poking and wagging his tail and just... like, I was, like, smiling, and I'm like, wow, this is so cool. I want to do that. So then I started, like, getting more into the fandom to learn, like, how I can be a part of that joy and kind of stuff like that, yeah.
And the rest is history.
Yeah, basically. And now I'm here.
Although, I guess we don't know if that particular doggy was a he or not. So we don't know if it's really history or her Okay. No. Anyway, hi.
If you haven't listened to our podcast, Karupi, you are in for a treat.
Oh, I've listened to some.
I don't know about that. Oh, well, we'll just go with that. We'll just go with that. That's great. That's a wonderful thing to do, to be a part of this family that we have. And so your fursona, tell us about that. You have a very interesting fursona that I have not come across. And I heard you've heard this many times before. So what's that story about?
Oh gosh, just Addie in general? All right. Well, I knew from the beginning that I wanted to do like a kimono style, but I knew I also didn't want to go in the direction of just like, you know, canine, feline, that kind of thing. And I've always been like intrigued by the ocean. Oh. So I started off, I just had like a bunny. And I'm like, yeah, just basic bunny.
Oh, bunny, you're so cute.
Bunny. It was cute. But a friend of mine was selling adopts of like ocean adopts. And it was like a sea lion character. I'm like, you know, I'll support my friend. And I bought it. And then I asked them like, huh, you know, a sea lion's pretty unique. Do I have permission to redesign this character? Kind of make it my own. And they're like, yeah, go ahead. So that's when I started, you know, playing around. And I basically made... like, I honestly say Addy's a sea lion. He's a sea lion dragon. But looking at him, you wouldn't really be able to tell that.
No, no. That is true.
I did not know what he was.
Yeah.
I did not know. Yeah.
To make
and
it easier, I just say
he's really a, what is it? It's a hybrid. So it's a, what did you call it? A Oteriagon or something?
Oteriagon.
Oteriagon.
Yeah. Oteriidae is the family that sea lions are from.
Day. So mm-hmm. That's when they're not sleeping because it's in the day. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, you were saying.
Addie was a lot of like experimenting. I didn't really have a clear idea in my head of what I wanted. I was just like, I took features and ideas of things I like. I'm like, oh, like fish. I'll do like a fish tail. And then I want to do like a mane rather than like just the regular hair. Make him look all like a dragon and stuff. I always say this, the Addie design you see today is basically his first draft. I never made him and made him better. That's why he's just kind of a clutter of like patterns and colors.
A clutter of patterns. So he's a cop. Interesting. Anyway, and how long have you had him?
I made him, oh boy, about like 3 years ago or so, but I got my suit a couple years ago. He's not that old. It's like, I know a lot of people have sonas that they've made since they were young and they carried with them, but like, no, he's a new fish. He hasn't been around too long, but it's been a lot of fun.
And there's like a lot there that you don't hear very often. Like, you know, we ask first come on the show and we ask them about their fursonas and everything. And, you know, oh yeah, I'm a bunny. I'm a raccoon. I'm an octopus. Well, there's been no octopuses. That would be kind of interesting. But
so cool. But
we don't usually get a clutter of patterns and colors. So that's pretty great. You are a furtuber and you have a podcast. Let's kind of talk about this all in one big glomp. We don't have to do like talk about just the YouTube and then talk about just the podcast because it's really all related. Video production and making podcast episodes is quite different in many ways, but we can still talk about them at the same time. So anyway, how long have you been making YouTube videos and podcasts and how and why did you get into it and all that good stuff?
So as far as the podcast, we just, I think, recently hit our 2-year mark for doing that. Yeah, so that was kind of created out of whim. Like, I was sitting around with my friends and we were just talking about videos and stuff. I'm like, you know, it'd be cool if we did like a podcast. And at first everyone's like, I don't know, that's so much work. And the next time I came over, they're like setting up microphones and stuff. So so we're doing a podcast. So yeah, that's really fun. We do it like pretty casually, like, hey, let's just hop on call, talk about something for a while. But YouTube, I've actually, oh gosh, I've been doing videos since I was like little. Like, I loved.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would take our family camera and I would like make my friends do skits and stuff. And but like, I was doing like independent YouTube stuff of just like me. Like, I do comedy videos, skits, informational stuff. And then I kind of was like, I don't know if I want to do this. It wasn't really picking up traction. And I think once I got into the fandom and I'm like, I have the chance to create something totally unlike myself. Like, I get to bring out my acting abilities and talk about all these subjects and be part of a family that I'm like, I want to try it again. So then I started, I don't know, doing YouTube a couple of years ago again. And I was very surprised to see how it like took off and how people were actually like enjoying what I was doing and was like, hey, like, you bring my day up and all that. And I'm like, wow, I'm so happy. Like, I came back to doing videos.
It's a unique thing too. It's kind of a niche thing too. So that kind of helps draw people in. So there you go.
And what are your videos about? And what is your podcast about? Do you just like random subjects or what
podcast?
Do you do?
Pretty random. Like, we'll talk about like things that are going on in the fandom, like conventions. It's been pretty dry since, you know, not a lot's been going on. But usually we would like do recaps. We would talk about sometimes drama and stuff, just anything that's going on.
Drama in the fandom? What?
What? Yeah.
There's no drama in this fandom. What are you talking about?
But as for videos, I do basically whatever I'm in the mood for. So sometimes I do like funny stuff, informational stuff, dance comps. Gosh, sometimes animations, like whatever I'm in the mood to like throw up there, you know?
So that's exciting. So what video for you, what video that you have on your YouTube is your favorite?
Oh gosh, I think I have it as my quote unquote trailer video. It's a video of I took me and my friends and we full suited at just a park. Just ran around, went on the playground, talked to kids and stuff. And that just, I love watching that video because I'm like, that's what I aspire, you know, to be all the time. Just out having fun, making people laugh, bringing back that childhood wonder.
What about podcast episodes? What I like, well, I guess it's kind of just random and stuff. So do you actually have like a favorite podcast episode you've done?
Don't tell my co-hosts, but when they put out an episode, I usually don't rewatch it. I just show up, we record, because it's like we put out so much. I really liked near the beginning because we originally were doing like video and audio. So we would be in suit talking.
I don't know
if I have a favorite per se, but I just overall just enjoy doing them.
Enjoy doing it. Yeah.
How often do you put them out?
We try to do like once a month. It was like once every 2 weeks, but then since everything got kind of crazy, try to do them once a month.
And how about the most popular?
Most popular video podcast?
How about let's start with video.
I'm guessing you don't. Obviously, it doesn't sound like you watch the stats or anything on your podcast to see who's.
No,
what's the you just kind of do it and you go for it and you're done.
I'm not the main person behind the production. I don't do like all the heavy lifting. Kind of, they're just like, hey, we're recording. I'm like, all right, I'll hop on. All the credit goes to my co-hosts. They do all like the really major work for videos. I'm very surprised. My most popular one is my First Square dance comp from either 2018 or 2019, something like that. That's got like 140,000 views or something. I think
I saw that just the other day, as a matter of fact. Yeah.
I don't know why it took off so much, but I'm just like, wow, that like makes me think I'm doing something right. But
It's a good sign. Also, you are an artist and an actor, and there's a lot more artistry in all of that. So tell us about what's going on with that.
As of right now, I'm doing art full time. So I just work based on commissions and stuff.
Cool.
Okay. I've always been like drawing. I've been drawing for like 10 years, but you know, I'd work, you know, usual part-time jobs. And then I'm like, well, maybe I can make something out of what I'm doing right now. So yeah, I work based on commissions. And honestly, I have to say, like, it's all thanks to the furry fandom that I'm able to do art full time. Furries like art, I've learned.
It turns out that they do. It's
and yeah. They're willing to pay for it too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like it's what started the whole thing in the very beginning or something. I don't know.
Like before doing like furry art and stuff, I never really would draw anthro characters and stuff. So I think because of the fandom, it's definitely expanded my skills. Like they've made me draw stuff that I wouldn't even think of drawing, like dragons and all this crazy detailed stuff. And I'm like, wow, I think this is going to be like really useful later on when somebody's like, showcase what you can do. I'm like, well, now I can draw a pretty good wolf.
Yeah. Whereas before it looked like a stick figure, pineapple tree or something. I don't
absolutely.
Even know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That sounds like my drawing. Yeah.
What's your drawing style? Is it cartoony? Is it realistic? What is it?
Definitely cartoony. I love toony style. You know, I do like kimono style, which is like the anime and sometimes like semi-realistic. But like when people are like, hey, can you draw this in toony style? I'm like, absolutely. I would love to.
When you go to cons, do you go into the dealer's den and draw, or do you not do that part of the con world?
As far as like when I want to go to a con, for me, art is like work. I love it, but it is also work. So when I go to a con, I'm like, it's a break from work. I want to just have fun, explore, you know. Mm-hmm. I have sold at cons before, but usually like anime cons are very local conventions. So I'll just like set up a little booth and then it's only like a day, take it down, go home. Oh, so cool. Stuff like that I've done, but like, you know, the big conventions where people go to sell and I'm just like, ooh, I don't know if I can do that. But
well, so are you then busy at cons? I mean, do you go to panels or do you do the dances or just hang out or what do you like to do?
I love being busy at cons. I've been doing cons since like 2012, and I would go to these anime cons. I'd be cosplaying and stuff, and I'd be like, there's nothing to do. Like, I'm not really interested. But it's when I started doing furry stuff that I'm like, I want to get involved. The most panels I did was at Aquatifer. I was scheduled to do 9. And I made it to 7.
That's I think the most I've done in a single con is like 3, maybe.
I love keeping busy. Like, I love being on my mind. I'm like, okay, I gotta go run and do this and this. I just love like helping.
You said you did 9 panels. You hosted the panels? You were the panelist?
I would only host maybe 1, but
okay, but that's
They would be like some last minute calls. People would be like, hey, someone backed out. Can you come host this with me? I'd be like,
very cool. Definitely keeps you busy. So you've been going to cons for a while. What was your first FurCon?
FurCon? What was it? MFF 2018? 2017? Okay. Something like that. It's like a very recent that I started going to furry conventions. Before it was all like anime and stuff like that.
Okay. And but, what fur cons have you been to then since then?
Not a whole lot. I usually just go to them yearly, but I've done Fur Squared, Aquatifer, which are very local, MFF, and I did AnthroCon once. But that's about it. Like, I try to keep it pretty local because traveling can get pretty expensive and whatnot. But like MFF, I can just drive there, which is very convenient, very nice. Yeah, I'm hoping to travel out more. I definitely want to try Texas Furry Fiesta. I got a friend who lives down in Texas, so I'm like, maybe I'll drag them with.
I'm loving the TFF. So I definitely approve that message. And I was just thinking about the geography when you said MFF, I can just drive there. And it's like, because like this pup, this pup's geography isn't that great or something. And I just happened to think about that. So that's great. What year did you go to AC?
Last year, I believe. Oh, 2019. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I've only been once to AC, and that was 2018. So I was just wondering if we happened to be there at the same time. And it wouldn't have mattered because I wouldn't have known it anyway, apparently. But we would have been there in pre-fluff spirit or something. So you're busy at cons. And in fact, another reason you're busy at cons is because you sometimes do dance comps. So how many dance comps have you been in?
I think every FurCon that I've been to, I always audition. Like, I've made it into most. I know my first year at MFF, I auditioned. I did not make it. Maybe 5 or 6 I've done, 4 or 5. I don't know. Around that, yeah.
It is good for your, quote-unquote, short amount of time and not as many cons you've been to. So that's that's pretty good. And so you've enjoyed every single one. So what's your dance style? Do you have a dance style or do you just kind of flop around?
Like a fish.
I mean, because I definitely flopper. I've been in a few dance comps, and there is a lot of flopping going on around there.
I especially love like hip hop style dancing. I watch dance videos all the time. Not usually like furry stuff, but just people who do routine work. Mm-hmm. And I'm always watching them. Like that's the kind of energy that I want to like do on stage as well. So yeah, just anything that's like, I want to match the music. That's my biggest thing is like, I want my energy to match the music I'm putting out. And usually like hip hop really lines up with that kind of style. That's what I love to do. Yeah.
So do you do only the dance comps or do you do the Floor Wars also?
Well, I've auditioned for Floor Wars in like groups, but usually when I've got like dance comp on my brain, I'm just like, I can only do one or the other. It's too much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely. I have not done Floor Wars really. But yeah. I definitely want to.
So when you do when you do dance comps, do you work on your routine before the competition or do you just kind of go out there and wing it when the music starts for the competition?
I used to just kind of wing it. Like I'd have moves in mind for certain parts that I knew I wanted, but I'm just like, I'll just improvise. It wasn't until I think AnthroCon that I performed and I looked back on it, and I'm like, not my best work. So since then, I've been very much like doing routines. I'm like, I need to get my head in the game more and actually plan some stuff out so I know what I'm doing once I get on stage. Because, you know, even if you have nerves and stuff, if you know what you're doing, it's not so bad.
And have you placed or won a competition?
I've gotten second place and third place.
Oh, in a nice.
That's good.
Dance comps. Yeah.
Which ones were those at?
Aquatifer, I got second place. And that was, I find very funny because I was called in to do the dance comp like an hour before it happened. I was not planning to do it. They threw me in last minute.
Were you on a wait list or something?
I had signed up to do it. And then I kind of got like a foot injury. I'm like, sometimes my foot would be hurting or sometimes it wouldn't. So I messaged them before the con. I'm like, hey, you know, I think I'm going to have to back out. And they're like, okay, that's fine.
Okay.
It was once I got to the con, I was with my friend Slade who hosts the competitions. They're like, hey, I know you backed out, but if you're feeling better, come to our prelim and we'll still have you, you know, try out. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, then they had the prelim. And I was just super tired in the morning. And I'm just like, I'm not going to that prelim. And so I didn't. And they met up with me later on in the day. And they're like, hey, I know you didn't go to the prelim, but if you still just want to be in the contest, it's fine.
This is fine. Just do it.
Yeah. Like, they're like, I've seen you perform. It's fine. I'm like, all right. So that I did it like an hour later.
So, yeah. I mean, the good thing was you did already have a routine in mind. And obviously that paid off because, well, you got second and stuff. So that's not bad.
It was really because, I didn't practice a whole lot. But I just, because I love dancing so much, I just get out there and like the energy and the hype of everything.
So you're also an actor. So what do you act in or for?
As far as acting goes, I'd say my YouTube is my acting.
Oh, YouTube is your acting. Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
I used to, I did go to like acting classes and stuff a lot, and I'd perform in plays and whatnot. And I think carrying that over into doing YouTube like really helped out because like I love acting. I'd love to do more with it. But, you know, since it's not a lot of opportunities to do it, I'm like, well, I'll make a character. I'll make something that I can act in, you know? I would say that's where that comes from. Nothing professional, but I wish.
I mean, if you have a YouTube, it's perfect. I guess you don't get paid for it, but it's professional. So I meant to ask, so this goes way back to the, what's it called? Ortega Day.
Oteria Day?
Yes, that one. That one.
Oh, okay.
I understood that one.
Very good. It doesn't happen very often, as you can probably tell. So very good for you. When you can start understanding what this pup is trying to say, that's when you should be scared and probably run away or something. So, because you're an artist. So did you draw your original persona?
Yeah, I did. I did all the designing and stuff for it. Like I said, I just kind of put it together based on styles and designs I like. My biggest thing with designing a character is I don't focus so much on like patterns as I do silhouette. Like I want to, like if you saw like a shadow of that character, you'd still be able to point to it and be like, oh, I know that character, like guess that Pokemon, that kind of thing.
That's a cool way to do it.
Okay, cool. So you have a kind of a unique drawing style then, in a way, like your vision and artistry and like your viewpoint seems to be a little unique.
Yeah, people say that a lot, and I don't always know what it means. They're like, wow, your art style is really unique. I'm like, is that a compliment? I don't know.
Don't really know.
So how did you come up with the name Addie Boyo? I mean, I can guess, but let me hear it from your words.
Addie, Atticus, it's short for, is actually based on a dog I used to take care of at my old job. Like, I worked at a doggy daycare, and people would bring in their dogs to, like, spend the night. And at the time, we had a dog named Atticus that was staying with us for a very long time, and it's almost like he became kind of part of the staff family. And so once I was designing a character, I'm like, oh, I want to take the name Atticus and base it off of that. And then I kind of shortened it for Addie just to be fun. And the Boyo part was originally like a placeholder name. I'm like, Addie Boyo, and I threw it down. That's why Boyo is spelled with two Y's, because I didn't know how to spell it. Okay. And it just kind of stuck after that. So I'm like, all right, well, it's fine.
I guess I'm not moving on from this now. Okay.
Well, that's pretty common in the fur world, I found out. People say something or do something the first time, and then it sticks because they start remembering them and recognizing them. And that's what you become.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it snowing where you are yet? I mean, it is winter.
It snowed just a couple days ago, and that's the first snow we've had so far. The problem is it snows, it rains, and then it freezes over. So it's just ice. It's not a whole lot of like winter fun as much as it is like try not to fall, you know?
You don't get a bunch of the like fluffy snow that hangs around for a few days. You get fluffy snow for 2 seconds, and then you have to ice skate everywhere.
Yeah,
that's no good. Speaking of that, I also want to ask, where did the name Karupi come from?
Karupi was a nickname my brother had given me when I was very young. I don't know where he got it from, honestly. But I'd never heard anyone use it. So then I've been using that as like a username. And after a while, I'm like, yeah, you know, I kind of like the name. I'd like to be called Karupi and stuff.
Because there it is.
Whenever somebody says Karupi, you'll know who they're talking about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't hear that name very often. So that's very true.
I've never heard that name. So this episode comes out the day after Christmas. So what kind of Christmas stories do you have? What's your favorite type thing to do for Christmas?
Oh, you know, usually we don't do a whole lot for Christmas, but this year was very special because I've always wanted a pink Christmas tree. And my mom was always like, no, that's so obnoxious. We can't do a pink tree.
I'm obnoxious.
This year, she came up to me. She's like, oh, I know you want a pink tree. Let's go buy a bunch of pink ornaments and decorate the tree. So I was able to have the Christmas tree of my dreams this year. It's very pink.
Nice.
So many like little candy looking ornaments. And I love it. Every time I go out to the living room, I'm like, this is how it should be.
Does it smell like cotton candy?
I wish. That'd be so. I'll just put my fruit spray all over it. I got sugar cookie kind of.
There you go. And then you'll really be obnoxious. So that's good. That's good. So Karupi, could you tell us how can we find you on the World Wide Web and social media? And do you have merchandise and do you have a Patreon and all that good stuff? How can we find out about you and get your stuff?
Well, okay, if you go to any of my YouTube videos, I link all of my media, but otherwise I have Addie Boyle on Twitter. I've also got my main one, which is Slugload. Got an art account.
Say that again.
Slugload. Slug, L-A-W-D.
Lord. Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah. Lord. Okay, yep. I see. Lord. I got it.
Then otherwise, Karupi Jones on a lot of media.
Karupi Jones. Be Jonesing for the Karupi.
And how far back are you on commissions? You said you do art full time, so you must have a stack up behind you, right?
Yeah, I do. How'd you know? I should be working right now.
Okay. Well,
and look at us taking like money away from you. Jeez.
Oh, no, it's fine. But yeah, I've got a pretty decent queue right now. I know I've got some friends who are like, when you open up, I want some Christmas themed commissions. So I'm like, okay, I'll let you know.
Might not get it till like Easter and everything, but okay.
I've had people commission me after Halloween for Halloween pieces. I'm like, are you sure? Like,
it's going to be another Halloween. So
it'll come around a year from now. Yeah.
and how about like merchandise, t-shirts and stuff like that?
What about it? What do you need?
Do you have some?
I do.
Oh, wow.
Tell us about that. I've got like on my Etsy, I sell pins and acrylic charms. And then I've got my Teespring, which is obviously like apparel. There's stickers, pillows, tapestry, blankets, literally like anything. If you can print on it, it's on Teespring. So I've got also those linked onto my YouTube. I probably have them linked onto my Twitter as well. Pretty easy to find.
Is it on a brown grain of rice?
Why?
I mean, because you said it, if you can ride on it, it's on it.
Oh,
but,
oh, I mean, that is a thing. People write names on grains of rice.
Yeah, maybe not brown ones, though. I guess it's only white rice, because if it's brown, that you can't see it much. But
well, you could write on it with a white ink.
You could do that. So you could make a new market there, Kroupy. Furry art
this idea? Oh,
on
my
brown
God.
Rice with white markers.
Wow. Yeah. So
that'd be very niche. Very niche.
Also very maybe niche. Furry.
Yeah. And shipping is really cheap.
Yeah.
It's rice, so cheap.
A grain of rice. Yeah.
So it might fall off the envelope, but
it might. Yeah. And you know, if you end up being short on cash one day, you still got dinner.
Right, yeah.
Very light dinner, but yes, very light dinner.
Well, you know, maybe you're on a diet.
So we're kind of coming to the end of our time together, but I have to ask you, do you have any wise words of wisdom for us?
My biggest thing is when you're creating or doing something, don't always go in the direction that you're expected to do. Do what makes you happy first, and people will kind of pick up on that energy, and you'll draw the right crowd for you to your content and what you do. It's probably cliche, but it's true. Stick true to what you want to do, be yourself, and you'll honestly have like a great ride with everything you do.
I like that.
I like that.
All right. Well, thank you very much for being on our show.
Of course.
And I wag and I bark. And so I say, thank you so much for being on the show. I wag, and someday maybe I will hug the fluff. Until next time, bark, bark.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
Attaboyo. She was interesting. You know, that style of suits, Kimokasuki? How do you say that?
Kimono.
Kimono? I thought that was a bathrobe.
That's kimono.
Oh, okay.
it's just a difference of one little vowel.
Wow. Those dang Chinese or Japanese and their vowels. Yeah.
Yeah. Kimono is like the dragon stuff. Kimono is that thing. But yeah, okay. Very interesting style she's got going on there. Lots of fun to talk to. Very, very varied and entertaining. Got lots of stuff to share with us furs.
I always like talking to folks that can make the fandom their business. And she makes the fandom her business.
I didn't realize that she's just doing that full-time commission stuff. I knew she did it, but I didn't realize she's all backed up and stuff. So that's very cool and exciting, and also a little stressful for her, I imagine.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, especially, she says today is, of course, the day after the day after Christmas. And she was saying that she's got Christmas things to do. And when we recorded this, it's just a week away from Christmas. So she's got to get going.
She's got to get going. As I said, their commissionees will get the Christmas stuff on Boxing Day or Yom Kippur or something. And so that'll be great.
The commissionees?
The commissionees. It's like, I don't know, if you're at a circus, it's a commissionees on the trapeze with the greatest of ease. I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, what do you say we get to our next segment?
Let us get to our next segment. That's what I say.
All right. It is time now for Furries in the News.
Furries! Why did it sound like I was dying just now? The okay, that took actually a lot of work.
Well, first up, another con has fallen. What con has fallen now?
I'm not too surprised. I wasn't really holding out, but I didn't like delete it from my Twitter bio thing that says I'm not, you know, in my Twitter bio, I have the cons I'm going to and everything. And I've had it up this whole time, but it was announced just a week ago that TFF has been canceled. And it was, of course, a very hard decision for them. I think, of course, the right decision, you know, with spikes in COVID at the time, if you're listening to this like a year from now, then hopefully there's no spikes in COVID going on.
Yes, because if there's still spikes in COVID going on a year from now, oh my cow.
That means I've been in my little puppy house for like a year and a half solid. Like right. I haven't gone anywhere. So I think it's the right move, but they're still planning on doing a virtual something or other. They don't at the moment, they don't have any plans or details Well, they have plans, but they don't have any details for us, but they're going to get those out soon. And they're still having hopes for Furry Siesta. So do you know actually barely about what Furry Siesta is?
Well, a siesta is a nap. So is it just a bunch of furries sleeping?
Sleeping. I mean, that's all they do, like all weekend. They get together. Yeah, and let's sleep. Go to a hotel and sleep in our individual rooms for a weekend. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Well, a siesta also is a break and can be a party, I believe. I do not speak Spanish, so I don't know.
That actually makes sense because TFF Texas Furry Fiesta, of course, that's the big one. And then I forget, it's in the summer sometime. They have a smaller one at a different hotel, which is confusing because it's by the same, it's like the same name as the main hotel, but it's not the same hotel. So they're still holding out that maybe Texas Furry Siesta might happen. So they haven't canceled that yet. They're still trying. But anyway, that's the news from me. And how about you, Barely? What did you find?
Well, I scoured the web as I normally do. And one thing came up from the Portland, Oregon slog. That is also where Fur Science was highlighted several months ago, was in the slog.
Was in this? Oh, she did. I remember Dr. Roberts talked about the slog and I didn't know what that is. And I still don't know what that is. So what is that?
If you Google slog, S-L-O-G, and in Portland, Oregon, it'll come up to a bunch of newspapers from like Willamette Week, the Portland Tribune, all those kind of things.
So it's like a Slumgullion of logs.
Sure. A Slumgullion. Wow.
Well, Slumgullion, it's a word at least me and my hubby use. So I don't know. Maybe it's just a us thing. I think it's a real word, but I guess we'll have to find out and talk about that next week.
I'll have to look that word up. A Slumgullion. I'm going to write that down right now. There was an article this week about entitled Furry Truckers Are a Thing. But of course, we knew that. We know several furry truckers.
That's right. Actually, we do. Mad Dog's a furry trucker, and there's
several others. I mean, we've talked to people, and they all say, and Mad Dog has pointed out several other.
I think he said he's in a furry trucker group, actually.
So there is a furry trucker group.
Why am I surprised? I'm not surprised. Come on.
There's an article in the slog the week of December 17th. So look it up if you'd like to. But it's from Caliper Collie and Paw Maltz.
I love it already.
They are two truckers that departed the Pacific Northwest, hitting the open road with a load of cargo on the trailer and fuzzy fursuits in the cab.
They hit the road and hurt their pawsies, but they're better now. I think they had to have some surgeries, but they're better now.
They're carrying on.
I love it when you ignore me.
I'm just going to keep going. Yes. Anyway, so apparently Caliper was trained to be a truck driver by a furry. So he was trained by a furry, and now he's training another furry by the Paul Maltz, his trainee.
Keeping the tradition. That's cool.
Keeping the tradition alive. Yes. In the article, it says that on the interstate, nobody knows if you're a dog.
It's, you know, that's actually very true.
Very true. You know, if you're driving
sometimes
down the street.
It's obvious.
You know. So Caliper reported that there's a number of pretty decent amount of furry truckers out there. And that he said he estimated that there's about 150 across multiple furry trucker Telegram groups. So there's a lot of furry truckers out there. Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. I like it.
He also says he's only been at it for a little over a year, but I think that's talking about driving a truck, not furrying. I don't know.
Maybe both. Maybe he found the trucking because of furry.
Or maybe he found furries because of trucking.
Or maybe he found a tree because he wanted a fruit.
True.
Maybe. So, I mean, it has that. That's very relevant right there.
But anyway, so check out that article. It's pretty cool. I asked our talent scout to reach out to one or both of them and maybe come on, be a guest on the show. Who knows?
Apparently, they're predominantly blue collar. So they're doggies that have blue collars.
A whole different subgenre. The blue collar.
I have a purple collar, so I don't really fit into that group, apparently.
Which, of course, then brings up upcoming events. And, of course, the only real upcoming event in the next couple of weeks is Virtual FurryCon. Welcome to Hollywoof. Further Confusion 2021. So you can still register or attend. And I believe, Tabin, you and I are going to be holding a panel or two.
I'm going to submit a few older videos, like maybe the story time with Tabin from FC this year, the one that was actually recorded there. I thought that would be a nice thing. And then I might do another thing. You know, I have some poetry with Tabin, and I have some other things. I thought I'd submit some other videos, and then I might or might not do a live story time. I don't know. I haven't decided. But of course, as we've talked about, we're going to try and do a live podcast recording.
If we can pull it off, look for us in the panel rooms, folks.
Yep. And it'll be probably Saturday afternoon, Saturday or Sunday, anyway, on the weekend for sure. Yeah. After these messages, we'll be right back.
PNWF News, your premier source for news on nerd culture in the Pacific Northwest. New videos every Sunday on the PNWF News YouTube channel.
Moving along, we have a story time this week, do we not?
We do not not. In other words, we do.
Okay.
The story this week is, I mean, it's maybe slightly longer than my usual stories, but I think it's in the spirit of the holidays. And this is the day after Christmas, but it's still, you know, I figure it's still time to, like, I can help wrap up the holidays with a Christmas story.
Well, it is Boxing Day, so...
It is Boxing Day. That's right. Yeah. It's a rendition of The Night Before Christmas. Because as you know, Barely, I am not a political pup.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Is this really? Really? Okay.
So any further that knows me knows what's happening now. So I'm not a political pup. So I'm not going to read the original Night Before Christmas. I want to read the politically correct version of The Night Before Christmas. And this is entitled, "'Twas the Night Before Solstice."
Okay.
Of course it is. Okay, so let us read the charming tale of The Night Before Solstice. "'Twas the night before solstice, and all through the co-op, not a creature was messing the calm status quo up. The children were nestled all snug in their beds, dreaming of lentils and warm whole grain breads. We'd welcome the winter that day after school by dancing and drumming and burning the Yule. A more meaningful gesture to honor the planet than buying more trinkets for Mom or Aunt Janet. Or choosing a tree just to murder and stump it and dress it all up like a seasonal strumpet."
A seasonal strumpet?
A seasonal strumpet. That is a thing, another word we have to look up. Write that down.
Sounds Doctor Who or Dr. Seuss-ish.
It does sound Dr. Seuss-ish. Maybe it's a green eggs and strumpet. I don't know. "My life mate and I, having turned down the heat, slipped under the covers for a well-deserved sleep. When from out on the lawn there came such a roar, I fell from my futon and rolled on the floor. I crawled to the window and pulled back the latch and murdered. Oh, where is that neighborhood watch? I sat there below through the murk of the night, a sleigh and 8 reindeer of non-standard height. At the reins of the sleigh sat a mean-hearted knave who treated each deer like his personal slave. I'd seen him before in some ads for car loans, plus fast foods and soft drinks and cellular phones. He must have cashed in from his mercantile chores, since self-satisfaction just oozed from his pores."
Indeed. Oozing self-satisfaction.
"From his pores. He called each by name as if he were right to treat them like humans, entrenching his might. Now Donner, now Blitzen, and other such aliases, showing his true eurocentrical biases. With a snap of his..." It was a hard word to say.
That's a big word. Wow. I'm impressed that you read it.
I am really true that I read it. Maybe I should go on Reddit to see if I read it correctly. But that's not part of
not part of the story at all. No.
That's not... kind of, actually. "With a snap of his fingers, away they all flew, like lumberjacks served up a plate of tofu."
I would never serve a lumberjack tofu.
I know. I think we've got to think about this one. Let's take a moment of silence for the poor lumberjacks that got served up a plate of tofu. "Up to the rooftop they carried the sleigh. The holes in the shingles are there to this day. Out bounded the man who went straight to the flue." Mm-hmm. F-L-U-E. That's a word, apparently.
Yes, that's another name for the chimney.
Chimney. Oh, now it makes sense.
Now it makes sense.
I knew in an instant just what I should do. Not to break the flow of the rhyme, but I think you get the idea there. This reminds me of Jabberwocky. You know Jabberwocky?
Yes.
I should read that.
Okay, so 2 weeks from today, Jabberwocky.
After donning my slippers, downstairs did I dash to see this trespasser emerge from the ash. His clothes were all covered with soot. But of course, from a wood-fueled alternative energy source. Through the grime, I distinguished the make of his duds. He's got duds.
Duds.
Just like all of my jokes.
They're duds, yeah.
He was dressed all in fur, fairly dripping with blood. I guess he had a hard time down the chimney or something. I don't know.
Yes. Wow.
We're a cruelty-free house, I proclaimed with such heat. He was startled and tripped on the logs at his feet. He stood back, up dazed, but with mirth in his eyes. It was then I noticed his unhealthy size. He was almost as wide as when standing erect. A lover of fatty fried foods, I would suspect. But that wasn't all to make sane presence. What? Oh, person. Oh, I see. It's spelled persons, P-E-R-S-U-N, because we're all, I guess, that political stuff. Anyway, So I'll start that again. But that wasn't all to make a sane person's choke. In his teeth sat a pipe with that was belching out smoke. I could scarcely believe what invaded our house. This carcinogenic and overweight louse.
Carcinogenic overweight louse. I love that's
it's
wow.
It's a good sentence. This is a very good sentence right there. He was so red in the face from his energy spent. I expected a heart attack right there and then. Behind him, he toted a red velvet bag full of exploding.
Exploding?
Was this 4th of July? No. It turns out that behind him, he toted a red velvet bag full of full to exploding with sinister swag.
Sinister swag.
Sinister. So we've got carcinogenic overweight louse and sinister swag. What more do you need on a festive holiday like this?
Right.
He asked, "Where is your tree?" With a face somewhat long, I said, "Out in the yard, which is where it belongs. But where will I put all the presents I've brought?" I looked at him squarely and said, "Take the lot to some frivolous people who think that they need to succumb to the sickness of commerce and greed, whose only joy comes from the act of consuming the sending the stock of the retailers booming." So apparently we're against commerce and like society or something.
As all good hipsters should be.
As good hipsters should be. He blinked and said, "Ho, ho, ho, but you're kidding." I gave him a stare that was stern and forbidding. Surely children need something with which to have fun. It's like childhood's over before it's begun. He looked in my eyes for some sign of assent, but I strengthened my will and refused to relent. They have plenty of fun, I cut to the gist, and your mindless distractions have never been missed. They take CPR so they can save lives and go door to door for used clothing drives. They recycle, renew, reuse, and reveal for saving the planet a laudable zeal. A laudable zeal. And maybe there's a seal involved too. A laudable seal? I don't know. When they padlock themselves to a fence to protest against nuclear power, we think they're the best. He said, "But they're children. Lo, when do they play?" I countered, "Is that why you've driven your sleigh? To bring joy to the hearts of each child and tot? All right, open your bag. Let's see what you've got." He sheepishly did, as I'd asked, and behold, a Malibu Barbie in a skirt made of gold. And I said, "You think that my girls will like playing with this? An icon of sexist consumerist quiche?" Kish? It's K-I-T-S-C-H.
Kitch.
Kitsch. Okay, Kitsch. This Malibu Barbie thing, we're unhappy about it. And I want to just let you first know this word is coming up. It's Kitsch. K-I-T-S-C-H. Okay? So let it flow, baby. Let it flow. You think my girls will like playing with this, an icon of sexist consumerist kitsch? With its unnatural figure and airheaded grin? This troll-up makes every girl yearn to be thin and take up fad diets and binging and purging instead of respecting her own body's urging to welcome the shape that her body's found and rejoice to be lanky, short, skinny, all around. You go, girl. You know, I tell you, you go.
You be you.
Girl. You be you. Deep in his satchel, he searched for a toy, saying, well, this is a hit with most little boys. And what did he put in my trembling hand but a gun from the Brain Blaster's Power Command? It's a hit, to be sure, I sneered in his face, and a plague to infest the whole human race. How about grenades or some working bazookas to turn all of our kids into half-wit palookas? I seized on his bag just to see for myself the filth being spread by this odious elf. An easy bake oven. Oh, goodness, what perfidy. To hoodwink young girls into household captivity. Plus an archery playset with shafts that fly out. The very thing needed to put your eye out. And toy metal tractors, steam shovels, and cranes for tearing down woodlands and scarring the plains. Plus games, dare I say games. Like Monopoly, Payday, Tycoon, as if lessons in greed can't start up too soon. And even more weapons from Brain Blaster's company. And cannons and nunchucks and ray guns that glow. That didn't rhyme because I was supposed to say co instead of company.
Okay.
That's how I could find in this red velvet sack. Perverseness and mayhem to set us all back. But I did find one book that caused me to ponder some fine bedtime tales by a fellow named Garner. So I have to point out that, so barely you know. So for any fur that doesn't know, the book I'm reading this from is actually politically correct. Well, this particular one's the ultimate storybook. It contains all his books, and the author of the books are James Finn Garner. So he was just giving himself a shout out. So Shout out to you. We need none of this, I announced in a huff. No business as usual, holiday stuff. We sell in our offsprings more virtue than this. Your toys offer some things they will never miss. The big man's expression was a trifle bereaved as he shouldered his pack and got ready to leave. I pity the kids who grow up around here, who will never be permitted to be of good cheer, who aren't allowed leisure for leisure's own sake, but must fret every minute. It just makes my heart break. Enough historics. Don't pity our kids if they don't do as Macy's or Toys R Us bids. They live by their principles first and foremost, and they know what's important. To him did I boast. Pray, could I meet them? Oh, no, they're not here. They're up on the roof, liberating your deer. Oh, they'll teach them. Yeah, see? These kids got it. Then Santa Claus sputtered and pointed his finger. But mad as he was, he had no time to linger. He flew up the chimney like smoke from a fire. And up on the roof, I heard voices get higher. I ran outside the co-op to see him react to my children's responsible and kind-hearted act. He chased them away and disheartened, dismayed, he rehitched his reindeer, who'd docilely stayed. So he's really trained those deer. I don't know, was he with them or something? Jeez. I watched with delight as he scooted off then. He'd be too embarrassed to come back again. But with parting disdain, do you know what he said? When this overweight huckster took off in his shed? This reindeer enslaver, this exploiter of elves? He said, "Happy Christmas to all. Bucket over yourselves." The end. That was my Yuletide ending for the holiday season.
All right. I think we should get to a fan favorite. It is time for really bad jokes.
The caveat, the kitty up, if the or kitty pup, I guess, as the case may be. This is a book called Funny Jokes and Foxy Riddles. And as I say, I really actually don't agree with any of those words except for the word and. This is a book from 1968 of jokes. And I have not read any of these jokes before until we do the recording. So, yeah, and they're really bad. And I just happened to notice, I don't know why I didn't notice this because it's on the front cover, barely. This is a golden book.
Golden.
It's a golden book, and it was only 75 cents.
In 1968.
Back in 1968 when it came out. So I think even for sure now, the book is only worth 75 cents.
Well, value is based on, you know, who wants it. So I'm gonna give you one of my jokes. You know, you always talk about the difference between unlawful and illegal.
I do always talk about that, yes.
So this kind of ties into that. So that's why you can't breed an eel with an eagle, because it's eel-eagle.
And, you know, that's a combination of a pun and, like, a tongue twister. It's like I couldn't even say that a half a time fast.
So, you know, this summer, it was kind of rough. So I started working out, and it was tough.
That was a rhyme. I liked the rhyme.
I decided that it was way too tough. And so I decided that working out is like a drug to me, and I do not do drugs. I don't work out.
That was a logic puzzle right there. So we were talking about, you know, the baseball team and everything yes. earlier, and it turns out that, I mean, I am a baseball dog, apparently, from what we said. I learned something about myself, apparently. And apparently, I have a baseball dog. You know why I think I have a baseball dog?
Why?
Because he catches flies and fouls and runs for home when the catcher comes. There's a little picture in the book of a doggy holding a bat and a cap on that says Doggers. No, Dodgers.
No, Doggers.
They missed a perfectly good pun here in this book. Because the cap, I read it as Doggers because that would make sense.
Right.
But no, it's Dodgers. They actually put Dodgers. They missed the opportunity. That is the worst joke right there.
Let's see if the writers are still alive and go over and slap them.
I feel like I should.
I've been involved lately in snail racing. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of this.
Well, I have a racing snail. I took the shell off him because I thought it would make him faster, but instead he's just more sluggish.
I mean, that is true. That is absolutely true. Oh, my cow. Okay. But so we've got this child monster here.
Okay.
And he says, Mom, I just knocked over the ladder in the garden. The mother monster says, you'd better tell your father that you knocked over the ladder in the garden. The child monster says, oh, he knows. He was on the ladder at the time. I mean, I would hope he would know by then.
Yes, 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 as they say, yes.
What are you even doing right now?
I don't know, but as we know, yesterday was Christmas. In the story of Christmas, several days from now, the three wise men visit the child.
They do.
So when it first happened, the three wise men walked into the manger area, the stables where the baby was, where the baby.
So it's really the importanter. It's the manger.
The tallest, most outspoken of the wise men gazes upon the child and says, Jesus Christ. And Mary perks up and she says, oh, turns to Joseph and says, oh, write that down. That's so much better than Fred. Uh-oh. I think I've broken Taven.
It is so... Okay, I really like that. I'm still going to remember that. I really like that. And, you know, I mean, it's really, really true.
That's the last one I've got, so it's up to you now to close us out.
Well, okay, I'll end it with, because it ends the page. Patty says, did you know that it takes three sheep to make one sweater? A whole three sheep. That's amazing. And Maddie says, no, I didn't even know they could knit.
As soon as you said it, my brain just clicked right on there.
Okay, that's good. We're good. We're good. We're good.
We're good. Oh, well, we did it again, Tabe, and we got to
we
the end
it.
Of the show.
Okay, yes. Doot.
Well, I hope everyone had a good time today.
I hope so. And I'm going to sing along to the closing music that you have right now. Okay, I did it.
Yes, there's closing music coming up. Well, you know, we came up with a new segment today, the classic comedy routines. I can already start thinking of ones for coming weeks. We may intersperse awesome. Them in between, but I've already got a list of what we're going to do.
I'm really excited about this. I totally wake.
And we hope everybody had a happy and safe and wonderful holiday. Be sure to be careful if you go out for next weekend, of course, is New Year's Eve. So if you go out to celebrate, be careful, be safe.
Careful. Social distance. Wear a masky on your muzz.
We don't want this to go any further. And I know there's a vaccine out there, but a vaccine does not make you Superman or Super Pup.
I really want to emphasize, because I think there's a lot of furs or some furs and people out there that might think, I understand why you think this, we've got a vaccine, everything's okay, life is back to normal. I want to say, I don't want to be a damper pup, but I think it's really so amazingly important to spread this message. It's really important that we stay healthy and realize, sure, there's a vaccine, but one, not everyone or every fur can get it yet. I think what they've set out, the first people to get it, then the next, the health workers, frontline health workers to get it, the elderly in homes. First, I think they've got a really great plan for who should get it when. So the general population won't be getting it until, April or something. I don't know.
Right.
But for a while. So until then, please, please keep staying safe. Do what you're doing. There is a vaccine with really great success rate, even so much better than even the common flu vaccine. And this is so exciting and wonderful. We will get through this. I love you all. We will get through this, but please stay safe until we're sure that the vaccine is doing its job, until we're sure that everyone can get it, and until we're sure that life can officially move on back to normal. So anyway, I'm sorry I had to be serious pup there for a second, but I think this is so important, and I think there's a lot of people out there not quite realizing this, so please be safe. We love you all. We will hug again, but until then, you stay safe.
Yes, and we'd like to thank again our guest, Eddie Boyo.
Yes.
And be sure to tune in next week when our guest will be Captain Boons.
Captain, this is really exciting. Yes, I weigh. He does knife throwing. I mean, come on. This is crazy.
I know. He throws sharp instruments at stationary and moving objects. So we're going to chat a little bit about him. And just a little teaser, he can smell ants.
We will be talking about that. Oh, my cow.
Well, Tabin, I'm going to say goodbye. It's been fun. And now I give it over to you for your very extremely long goodbye.
So, okay, so for any fur that wants to hang out for the next hour and a half, no, I love every fur that's listening to this. That's really amazing and means so much to both me and Barely that you do this and our staff that we have that helps us on this. We love you. We can't wait to hang out and hug again. And I really hope you... Wow, I am doing this long thing again, aren't I? I'm glad I didn't disappoint. I hope you enjoyed everything you've heard. Watch my YouTube channel. I've got some not new stuff, but I've got old stuff. If you like oldies, I'm going to stop now.
I'm just going to say goodbye.
Thank you very much. I hug, I wag, and we will talk to you next week. Bark, bark.
Barely Furcasting is an Injured Nerves studio production and is found on all major podcast platforms or can be heard directly at barelyfurcasting.com. The opinions expressed here are those of the hosts and their guests, and no commercial compensation was granted. The Furcast is produced, recorded, and directed by me, Barely Normal, a.k.a. Mike Began, and is edited by myself and our associate editors, Rain Raccoon and Canes. Opening and closing theme music, as well as some interstitial music, was created for Injured Nerves Productions for the use on the podcast by our music associate, Reg Day, with Damian Tanuki. If you would like to send us a message, you can do so via email at barelyfurcasting@gmail.com or on our Telegram chat at BFFTChat, on Twitter, on our Facebook page, or on the barelyfurcasting.com webpage. You can also help support the show through donations at ko-fi.com/barelyfurcasting. Thanks for listening. We hope you come back and listen next week.